taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans. You've joined the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Speaking of the rising generation, we like to pay attention to that. I like to pay attention to that. And I'm reminded of a quote by Ernie Fletcher, who said, "Education is our greatest opportunity to give an irrevocable gift to the next generation." Now, that got me thinking, because that gift, well, that gift could be good or it could be bad. I mean, think of the stories of Santa Claus, right? When you were a kid, you got up early Christmas morning, you went running for your stocking, and you were hoping for some good presents in there. At least I remember doing that as a kid. But the one thing you didn't want to find in your stocking was coal. And this was, again, supposed to be a lesson. You know, he knows if you've been sleeping, he knows you've been bad or good. If you're good, you get good presents. If you're bad, you get coal. But think about it. If education is an irrevocable gift, well, that gift can either be enlightening or it can be crushing, can't it? That gift can uphold people, encourage people, set them on a course for greater things, or can act like an anchor, depressing them, coercing them, dragging them down in pits of despair. Now, why am I bringing this up today? Well, because today I want to look at several articles that have been out recently that show that the irrevocable gift most of us are giving our children and our grandchildren and the next generation in general, it's not silver and it's not gold. It's coal and it's dung. And we're seeing the gift that was given to the previous generation, the education that was given to the previous generation, show itself up today. And sadly, too many of us are looking at it going, oh, tis, 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 or we hope they'll grow out of it, not realizing that they've been trained in it. This is the irrevocable gift that they have been given. For example, from the Daily Caller, I saw an article talking about a poll that was done by Generation Lab Axios, in which they found that 60% of Republican students do not think it was a state legislature's job to limit history curriculum in the public education. Now, what they're talking about is this parental pushback against critical race theory. They also found in this poll that 46% said that public schools should teach, quote, that pattern of racism as ingrained in law and other institutions. See, they've already been ingrained with this. Now, I'm not saying that we should not teach about slavery and racism and Jim Crow and the terrible things that were done in the name of racism. But we should put it in perspective. I was talking to a group of college students several weeks ago, and we were having a discussion about liberty and the role of government and what happens when government goes beyond their legal boundaries and restricts our rights. And one of the students said, well, listen, you know, this was an emergency, and you know, if we look at it, they've infringed on our rights, but society hasn't fallen apart. At which point I said, you know, one of the advantages of age, I've been around longer than you have, which gives me perspective. So when you say society hasn't fallen apart, we were just talking about infringement on your freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of liberty to go about your life as you see fit. Freedoms that in years past and decades past were considered unassailable. And now you're telling me that society hasn't changed to watch those disappear. That's the myopic view of the last 5-10 years is the, you know, that is normal. So when I look at perspective and I look at students, and I appreciate, you know, I understand, I don't think the state should be dictating what is taught so much as ensuring that what is taught is done so fairly and accurately. See, my issue with critical race theory isn't so much, or let's pick on 1619. My issue with 1619 isn't the idea that slavery didn't exist. We know it existed. It's one of the reasons we separated from Great Britain. No, Paul, we've been told that we separated Britain to keep slavery. Really? Then how come Philadelphia, Massachusetts, and I think Pennsylvania all passed laws as colonies to stop the slave trade, which were overturned by the king of Great Britain? Yeah, yeah, Paul, but that doesn't mean that we didn't want to keep slavery. I mean, sure, they voted for that, you know, but they didn't really want that. Oh, then why is the very first grievance listed in the Declaration of Independence that the king has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good? What were those laws, those wholesome and necessary laws that the colonies of Virginia and Massachusetts passed that the king refused his assent to? Why were colonies that wanted to stop the slave trade forbidden from doing so by the king? And how do you jive that with, oh, we just separated from Great Britain to keep slavery? It ignores the facts of it, the inconvenient facts of history. Facts like the first man in the colonies to own another man was a black man. Now, the black man was the slave, but the person who owned him was black as well. You see, the black man had hired an indentured servant, and the servant didn't do the job. In other words, he didn't get the person who owned the contract didn't get the value out of it. And the court said, well, then you can indenture him indefinitely. We call that slavery. So if we want to look at the history of slavery and racism in America, let's look at them. Let's not manipulate them for political gains. Let's look at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's look at the fact that the first man to die in the Boston Massacre was a black man. Touted to be the first martyr to the American Revolution was a black man standing up for his rights. Let's teach the fact that black is not used in the Constitution. You never find someone as a black man or a white man. You only have free men, indentured men, or you have free men, you have people who are not free, and you have Indians. Let's teach it. Let's teach that there was a time in this country where if you were black, you were considered less than human. Let's not teach that the Constitution said you were 3/5 of a human, because it says no such thing. So yes, I don't want the state telling us what to teach. But I do want a public school paid for with my dollars to teach accurately the history. And if that 60% of those quote-unquote Republican students are so interested in their history, why are they not concerned that what they're being taught is a lie? And if they're so worried about racism, about the patterns of racism, why are they willing to be taught lies and to have others taught lies, taught to be racist, taught to judge other people by the color of their skin? Now, if the current generation of students has been educated to be racist, to judge people based on the color of their skin rather than the content of their character. To assume people deserve an outcome not based on their effort or participation, but simply because they showed up. If this is what is the irrevocable gift that has been given to the previous generation that is finishing up their education, what do you think the current generation of middle school and high school students are being taught? If education is an irrevocable gift, it is a gift to good, and it is a gift to can be a gift to evil. And it is our responsibility. If we are overseeing a public school, it is our responsibility to oversee the public servants and make sure that what they are teaching is at least historically accurate. Now, you may have different opinions about the where's, the when's, and the why for's. But when you disagree with the history, with the what actually happened, when it happened, and what the people said they did it for, well, then you're not talking about history. You're talking about policy. That's not teaching history. Teaching history is understanding the stories of the dates, times, places, and stories of the people in the past from their own mouths, their own handwriting. That's why when I study the Constitution, I study the document itself and what the people who wrote it said about it. To listen to somebody in the 21st century spout off about what the Constitution says in direct contradiction to the language of the Constitution, in direct contradiction to the men who wrote the Constitution, and in many cases, direct contradiction of the women who wrote about the Constitution. That's not history. That takes us from education to indoctrination. Now, I've heard people claim that those are two sides of the same coin. Education, indoctrination, same thing. Well, not exactly. Now, yes, back in the 18th century, you look at the Webster's 1828 dictionary, obviously written in 1828 or published in 1828. Education and indoctrination have very similar meanings. However, today it's interesting. Merriam-Webster's dictionary today defines education as the action or process of educating or being educated. Okay, so if education is the practice of being educated, what is indoctrination? Well, it's to imbue usually with a partisan or sectarian opinion, point of view, or principle. See, when we use the term indoctrination, we're not simply talking about educating, but we're talking about instructing people with a partisan or sectarian opinion. So while there's a lot of overlap between educate and indoctrinate, when you're being taught not what actually happened, but what some political pundit wants you to believe for political purposes or partisan purposes or sectarian purposes, then we're indoctrinating. But in both cases, we're talking about having a long-term effect, an irrevocable gift to the next generation. So let me ask you, when 60% of students say that the public has no right to tell the school how to spend their money to educate those children, what have they been irrevocably gifted with? What is that irrevocable gift? Well, apparently, Emory and Henry College in Virginia is going to require students to wear special lanyards designating their COVID-19 vaccination status. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. What is the irrevocable gift of being branded? I mean, why not just turn around and put a patch on their shirt? maybe a yellow one. Maybe we could have like a yellow hypodermic needle for those who have been vaccinated. We don't need it for those. Only those who have not been vaccinated. We'll have a yellow hypodermic needle with a red circle and slash through it. And we'll make everybody wear that who cannot prove they've been vaccinated. And if that sounds like it's a little historic, that's because is this really any different than forcing Jews to wear yellow Stars of David on their shirt? To publicly identify themselves as different, as other? We're talking about a group of people who, according to the CDC's own data, have a 0.4% chance of dying from the disease. Some of the least at-risk people in this country are college students. What is the irrevocable gift we're giving these people? We're giving them the irrevocable gift of fear. Fear something because, well, government says so. Fear. Fear someone who is different. Fear someone who has not bowed to government pressure. Fear. How long before that fear changes from segregation with lanyards and college campuses to segregation in public, to forcing unvaccinated people to go around with a sign on their shirt? Or maybe we'll take an example from ancient Israel and have them walk on the streets yelling, "Unclean! Unclean!" We're teaching them to fear. And we're teaching them to be subjects. We're teaching them to be good little obedient subjects. Don't think for yourself. Don't decide for yourself. Do what your masters tell you, and you'll be rewarded. Question your master. Disbelieve what you're told. Think for yourself, and you'll be ostracized. You'll be branded. You'll be forced to be different. Defining a group as other is the first step in minimizing them and in destroying them. The first step in any segregation and in any genocide, any attack against other, against someone, a group of people, is to identify them as other. It was done to blacks in this country. It was done to Italians and Chinese. It's been done to Jews for millennia. In the Soviet Union, it was done to Jews and Gypsies and Poles. In Mao's China, it was done to the educated elite. You identify them as other. That's the first step in developing hatred, which leads to physical attack. Now, does that mean that a school making students wear lanyards is tantamount to genocide? No. Does it mean it's going to lead to genocide? No. But it is the first step towards it. It is the first step toward oppression. Is finding an oppressed people, identifying them as other, and then minimizing their rights until the point that you can treat them as subhuman. And then we've got Christian Brothers University out of Memphis, Tennessee, announcing that if you do not get the vaccine, you are not allowed on campus. Now, I don't know if Christian Brothers University is a public school or a private school. If it's a private school and this is the way they want to do that, to run their campus, well, they're legally allowed to. I think every Christian church should ask that they remove the term Christian Brothers from their name, because there is nothing Christian about ostracizing people for thinking for themselves. There is nothing Christian about subjugating them to a government edict, an unlawful government edict. And there's nothing Christian, about turning your brother into someone you ignore. Have we learned nothing from the story of the Good Samaritan? We focus on the Samaritan, the good guy, the guy who took care of the Jew, even though he had every reason not to. But you know what? That story includes two Jews that would not help their brother. Because what? They saw him as other? They were concerned about how it would appear? That they might be defiled by touching him? Have we learned nothing? These are just a few of the gifts, the irrevocable gifts that are being given to American students today. To be afraid when the government tells you to be subject to the dictates of government bureaucrats, not because they have the legal authority to, but because, well, they know better than you. You're just a foolish little serf. Shut up and do what you're told. This is what's being taught. Which is why when I found John Jay's quote, the one that says, every member of the state ought diligently read and study the Constitution and teach of its country and teach the rising generation to be free. And I took that as a challenge and I read it and my eyes were opened to the irrevocable gift of ignorance that I was given out of government education when it came to my rights, the liberties, my responsibility as a citizen and the Constitution of this country. I was able to revoke that gift. Because I did the work. It's not that hard. You can read the Constitution in 30 minutes. If you need help, guess what? I wrote a book, How to Read the Constitution in 30 Days, because most people don't believe you can read it in 30 minutes. And that'll help you. Quite often, though, I find what people really need is just a few good questions answered. Now, there are certain questions I get asked over and over and over again, and that's fine. I'm more than happy to answer them. But I want to tell you about a way you can help get those answers. Twice a month, I put on live question and answer. It's the second and fourth Thursday of the month. It's at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can find it on YouTube or Periscope, or if you go to constitutionstudy.com and you look at the calendar on the right-hand side, you can sign up and join the Zoom meeting. Now, in either of those, any of those venues, you can, again, YouTube, go to Constitution Study on YouTube, find the Constitution Study on Periscope, go to the Constitution Study website. I should be starting to live stream them there. But the best part, if you go to the Zoom meeting, you can ask questions in person. You can ask them anywhere, right? If you're on YouTube, just put a comment in. That's what I do for an hour and a half. I answer people's questions. I usually have something I start the conversation with, and then I answer people's questions. So join me. If you want to just take a look, again, YouTube, Periscope, check it out. You can, again, watch on the website, constitutionstudy.com. I love when people join the Zoom meeting because it's great interaction. You see, if you ask a question on YouTube, you put something in the comment, and I get around to answering it, very often what happens, other people will make comments so that it gets a little disjointed. But what's great is if you join the Zoom meeting, we can talk. You know, some people put their video up, some people don't, but the point is we can talk. We can have a conversation, which I think is a really great way to answer a lot of these questions. So please check it out. It'll be this Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time. Again, either just find me on YouTube, find me on the website, find me on Periscope. If you want, you can, again, join the Zoom call. Bring your questions. I love questions. There is no such thing as a stupid question. Well, actually, there's two stupid questions in the world. There's the one you don't ask and the one you ask three times. So come, I will do my best. I'll answer all comers for 90 minutes. And that's a great way to get to begin to revoke the gift you may have been given in the past. The gift of listening to what you're told, to doing what government says, to believing that government rules over us, not the other way around, not that they're our servants. I mean, that's the other half of the John Jay quote. It starts out with, every member of the state ought diligently to read and study the Constitution of their country and teach the next generation to be free. It goes on to say, by knowing their rights, they're sooner perceived when they are violated and be the better prepared to defend and assert them. That's why we do this, so that our constitutional understanding is healthy. Our citizenship is healthy. And while I'm speaking of healthy, please do me a favor. Head over to healthycell.com. Check them out. I've been using the immune super boost, you know, with all the crazy COVID stuff going on. Everybody was afraid of getting sick. I travel a lot. And when I travel, you know, you tend to pick up the crud. Well, the immune super boost has been a great help to keeping me healthy during this time. So I'm very glad to have had it. It comes in a nice little travel ready gel pack. You can either just take the gel directly or mix it into a drink or a smoothie or something. It's tasty, especially if you like berries. Mine with berry flavor is great. But check it out. And because you're an America Out Loud listener, HealthyCell.com will give you 20% off your very first order. Just go to HealthyCell.com/OutLoud to get that 20% off. Make sure that both mind and body are healthy. Try the Immune Super Boost. Try any of their products, and I think you will like them as much as I did. So again, that's healthycell.com/outloud, and I'll be back right after this short break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com is the alternative from the agenda-driven globalist. Here, we take on the challenges of our generation so that we can preserve future generations. On-demand podcast or real-time talk radio with our streaming apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You rejoin the Constitution study. Today, we're talking about the irrevocable gift that education is to the next generation. And we're asking, is the gift that we're giving silver and gold, or is it coal in our stockings? We've looked at a couple of examples. I got a few more. I got another article from the Daily Caller. And I found this interesting because it talks about the National Education Association, the nation's largest teachers union, and the fact that they're investing money into research, opposition research, for those organizations that are fighting against critical race theory. I find it interesting on a couple of levels. One is, this is a teachers union. No? Isn't their purpose to represent teachers, not to engage in pedagogic fights or discussions about curriculum? Aren't they there to deal with the working conditions of the teacher and the pay of the teacher? Why are they getting into a political and an ideological fight over critical race theory? And I'm wondering how many of the teachers that have paid dues that funds the NEA are as interested as they are in opposition research. See, when you're dealing with a debate, there are two ways you can proceed. You can argue your point, or you can vilify your opponent. Opposition research is there to vilify your opponent. It's not saying that, well, CRT is great, CRT is accurate, and here's the facts. It's a way of looking at your opponent and saying, no, they're evil, they're racist, they're terrible. Now, the NEA is a private organization. They can spend their money however they see fit. I just want to ask their members, is this really what you want your dues spent on? Opposition research for critical race theory. Opposition research for those parents, those organizations that are fighting to not have your children taught to be racist. To not force you to teach your children to be racist in class. Now, if you want to teach, if you're in your classroom and your school district wants to teach about race and its issues, again, as I said at the beginning, go for it. The question is, teacher, will you be forced to teach lies about racism? Yes, I said lies. 1619 Project is full of lies. It tells lies without any evidentiary support. They've even gone so far, the author has even gone so far as say it was more a political and philosophical paper than it was a historical one. Is that what we want taught to our children? And as a teacher, is that what you pay dues for? To have you forced to teach? To hate your white students because they're white? To make excuses for your black students because they're black? To look at your Latino and your Asian students and judge them by the color of their skin? Not by their knowledge, not by their work ethic, not by their abilities, but simply by the color of their skin? What are we teaching our children when a teachers' union, rather than supporting the what they want taught? In other words, if they think that these anti-racist theories and educational tools are so great, why aren't they supporting them? Why instead are they looking for ways to attack their opponents? See, attacking your opponent, especially personal attacks, are the sign of someone with a weak argument. I know when people start calling me names that they can't dispute what I've been saying. So I wonder, is it the teachers asking for the union to do this research for them because they don't have an argument that supports their position already? Or is it the fact that the union is basically a political organization looking to support a political viewpoint that puts the government in charge and tells the people to shut up and do what you're told? We're telling you that you're evil because you're white, and anybody that disagrees with us must be vilified and destroyed. Could that be it? Now, I don't know. I'm not a part of this union. I've not been to any of the meetings. But if you're a teacher, you probably have a good idea. And if you are a parent and you have a student in your classroom, what do you think? What do you think your child is being educated with? And do you really think the best argument in favor of the 1619 Project and critical race theory is to vilify those who disagree with it? See, that is what we're teaching this generation. If someone disagrees with you, don't prove yourself right. Destroy the other. Destroy the opponent. Oh, don't believe me? That's exactly what cancel culture is. Every time you see a student yelling and screaming because someone offended them, that's because they've been taught not to support their own position, but to destroy the opponent. Every time they refuse to let someone speak on campus because they've been told that what they've said is wrong, they've been given the irrevocable gift of servitude. to an idea, not to think for themselves, not to listen to the opposition and then prove them wrong with a simple argument, but to shut them up. To destroy freedom of speech, freedom of thought. That's the irrevocable gift that we've given to the last two generations of students. Will we give it to a third? Will we teach our children not to be free, not to be citizens, but to be subjects? For example, Lilith Vansan, who's a teacher in the Fairfax County School, told the school board meeting that the curriculum being taught in the county is to teach children to root for socialism by the time they get to middle school. To root for socialism. Not to simply to prove that it's right, not to simply prove that it's worked every time it's been tried, which it hasn't, by the way, it's failed every time it's been tried. But they're being given the irrevocable gift of being brainwashed to root for socialism in contradiction to every fact of history that I've ever found on the subject. Remember, Nazi was the National Socialist Party. The Soviet Union was the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. The People's Republic of China was socialist. North Vietnam was socialist. North Korea was socialist. Cambodia was socialist. Venezuela was socialist. Cuba was socialist. Tell me, which one of those states have thrived and prospered? Well, they point at the Scandinavian countries, except they say, no, we're not socialists. We just believe in a big welfare state. And even they are turning away from some of that. What comes when by the time you're in middle school, you've been indoctrinated to root for socialism, and then how can you look at that and then say, well, when we go to teach the Constitution, oh, that's not socialist, that's not good. What is the irrevocable gift? And before, parents, you think, well, you know, that's the school, we have no control. Oh, no, 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 you don't give up control of your children. You're supposed to control the school district, not be controlled by it. You must stand against the indoctrination. Many years ago, I was talking to a mother. She was visibly upset. Her daughter was in public school, and she was only in, you know, like second or third grade. And she had come home, and they had given her a sexually explicit class. They had taught something sexually explicit in the class. Like I said, she was only in second or third grade, I believe, at the time. And they never even talked to her parent first. And she was very upset. So she went and talked to the principal. And the principal said, and asked the principal, why was she not given the opportunity to opt her daughter out of this lesson? To which the principal said, well, we found if we tell the parents, if we give them the chance to opt out, they tend to. Isn't that the point? Now, she could just as easily sit back and go, well, what am I going to do? Or pitch a fit. Which are it? Which is it? What are we going to do? Are we going to sit back and let our children be given sexually explicit information at an extremely young age? Are we going to have them taught to root for socialism? Because if it's happening in Fairfax County, Virginia, it's happening in every county in the country. What are we going to do? Let's stop waiting for some politician to write a law that doesn't fix the problem. Do you know it's both federal law and the law in almost every state that the Constitution must be taught the week of September 17th every year in school? Do you know how many schools actually do that? Here in Tennessee, 1 year out of 12 do they actually teach about the Constitution. It's usually when they're a senior in high school. So if they've been indoctrinated to root for socialism since middle school, by the time they're a senior in high school, do you really think a single unit on the Constitution is going to teach them anything about freedom and liberty? If they're being taught that they don't have individual rights, that everything is collective, everything is communal, where does freedom and liberty blossom in the next generation? if the only thing they're being taught is this indoctrination from government-run schools. Those teachers and administrators are your servants. Let's start treating them like that. Let's start acting like we're actually their boss. Let's not take no for an answer. I remember once when I was in elementary school, back in New York City, many years ago, something happened that, my mother was not real happy with. And my mother didn't, whine and complain. My mother, little Italian lady, spunky little Italian lady, but little Italian lady. She showed up and talked to the principal, and the principal made the mistake of saying, little lady, how about I talk to your husband? Wrong answer. My mother didn't cotton with that. Let's stop genuflecting before a school board. They work for us, not the other way around. They represent us. They are exercising our power in our name. Let's start acting like that. Let's start pretending that these public schools are actually there at the behest of the public to serve the public, not to teach what a small minority of people want taught. But it's not going to happen until the American people learn for themselves, get rid of that, to revoke that gift of ignorance and servitude, and invoke the gift of knowledge and liberty. You know, when I was young, it was considered an awesome saying to say, I may vehemently disagree with what you had to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. Well, not in Massachusetts. No, in Massachusetts, and in Massachusetts, a town school system wants kids to rat out people with quote unquote undesirable speech and microaggressions. We're not allowed to disagree anymore. If it's undesirable, you're not allowed to say it anymore. And now, just as George Orwell predicted, we have a school in Massachusetts, and they're not alone. They're just the latest I've heard about it. We have a school in Massachusetts that wants your kids to be turned into a rat squad, not because somebody has done something illegal, but because they've done something undesirable. Undesirable to who? To Big Brother. To the masters in government. That's who. What is the irrevocable gift we have here? It's not simply shut up and be a snitch. There are times to quote-unquote rat out someone else. If what they're doing is criminal, if what they're doing is dangerous, especially to others, yeah, you rat them out. But if it's undesirable speech, God in heaven, no. If it's a quote-unquote microaggression, you know what I tell the kids who think they've been microaggressed? Grow up. And this is happening in a town in the home of liberty. If there's any place that can be considered a home to our independence, it's Boston and Philadelphia. And here we have Massachusetts. Boston is the capital that are telling us, they're turning us into the same micromanaged, controlled automatons that you have in communist China and North Korea. What this town is doing in Massachusetts is no different than what happens in China, in North Korea, that what happened in the Soviet Union and Cambodia. This is the government wanting the people to turn on each other, not because they've done something dangerous, but because they've done something different. What is the irrevocable gift of this particular education? It's the irrevocable gift of totalitarianism. This is the same mindset as the Hitler Youth or the Young Soviet. This is teaching, or the Cultural Revolution in Mao's China. This is turning people, young people, indoctrinating them into not only servitude, but to become the instruments of their own oppression by the hands of government. This is what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. This is what Lenin and Stalin did in the Soviet Union. It's what Mao did in communist China. And it's now what's happening here in America. Imagine if this school, which I guess is outside of Boston, Massachusetts. If the kids are writing out undesirable speech and microaggressions, do you really think that's going to be limited to just on campus? Can you imagine living in a home wondering if your child is going to take something you say and rat you out to school administrators? Wondering if Child Protective Services is going to show up because you've microaggressed against them? This is how tyranny grows. See, it's not simply the government imposing its will. It's when the government gets the people to impose their will for them. This is what's happened in so often before, and it always ends badly. But we're doing it again here in America. What is this irrevocable gift we're giving our children? Or how about the video from a 9-year-old Minnesotan girl when she confronted her school board about their own no politics policy, yet displaying Black Lives Matter posters in a classroom? Will she be ratted out for undesirable thoughts, undesirable speech? Has she microaggressed by turning to the school board and saying, "You hypocrites, you're lying to yourself"? This young girl is getting the gift of knowledge and the gift of strength to stand up before the school board and say, "No, this is not right." Not the one from Wesley, Massachusetts that says, "Sit down, shut up, do what you're told, or you'll be punished." No, this is looking at something saying, "That is wrong." This is the young person, like the story of the emperor who had no clothes, who's looking at the school board and saying, "You are a lying bunch of hypocrites. You have no clothes. You say no politics, yet we've got a Black Lives Matter poster in our classroom. A poster for a Marxist, anti-family, anti-America, anti-liberty organization, by their own words from their own website and their own founder." She is getting the gift of strength, of the ability to stand, not the students in Wesley, Massachusetts that are being taught to sit down and shut up or you'll be punished. This is that irrevocable gift. This Minnesota girl has been taught by her family to be strong, while the students in Wesley, Massachusetts are being taught to be subjects, to be less than, to be subhuman, to be serfs, to be ordered around, however those in power deem fit. Two gifts. One of them more valuable than gold, freedom, liberty, and the strength to protect it. The other, coal and dung, cowardice, fearfulness, servitude. What is the irrevocable gift being taught to your children and your grandchildren? Well, you know, you don't simply teach them by what is taught in school. It's not what you say that matters as much as what you do. If you've been following what's been happening in Loudoun County, Virginia, parents are up in arms over the teaching of racist doctrines like 1619 and critical race theory. And now they're willing to stand up and be arrested. That's right. Hundreds of concerned parents are showing up to school board meetings, demonstrating outside. And now several of them are getting arrested. Why? because the school board tries to shut them up when they complain, and they finally said enough. They kept speaking out even when the school board tried to shut them down. They realized, although I didn't hear them express it, that the school board works for them, not the other way around. So the school board, being an arm of government, got the government actors to come in and arrest them. I wonder if any of those parents happened to inform the law enforcement. I don't know if it was police or if it was sheriff. Looks like I got both from some of the pictures, that they were breaking a federal law, that they were denying them their right to be heard in a public forum. They were denying them their right to be in control of their child's education. They're denying them their liberty under the color of law. But most of all, to these parents, what have they taught their children? Now, this lesson could go one of two ways. You could spin it as saying, see, if you push back against government, you'll get punished. Be quiet, sit down, be a good little plebe, and do what you're told. Or they can spin it this way. There are things worth fighting for. There are things worth standing up for. There are things worth getting arrested for. There are times you stand your ground, even if it puts you in danger. So to the parents that have been arrested, I pray you are teaching your children that there are things worth standing for, things worth fighting for, things worth being arrested for. When you see injustice, when you see tyranny, it is worth standing up and fighting for it. As Captain John Parker said at the Battle of Lexington to the Massachusetts militia, said, stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon, but if they mean to have war, let it begin here. When a parent is willing to stand up to protect their child, even if it means getting arrested, that is a lesson. That is education. That is irrevocable gold given to the children. When other parents come up in support of them, that is gold given to their children. What is the irrevocable gift that you're giving to your children? There's a great example. I saw it on One News Now of a parent in Pennsbury, Pennsylvania, putting the school board in its place. I'll put a link to the article. I hope it's still up. I found the video invigorating because while he was certainly not polite, he wasn't vile, he wasn't vulgar, but he pointed out the hypocrisy, he pointed out the illegality, he pointed out apparently the school board was putting in place methods of censoring public comment during the meetings. And he pointed out the illegality of it, and when they tried to shut him up, when the president tried to interrupt him to get him to stop with the name calling, he simply said, too bad, the Constitution says I have a right to free speech. Of course, we'll talk about the First Amendment is a whole other issue there. But he quoted Supreme Court case law to say, listen, it must be robust and it can be vulgar. It can be rude. You have to live with it. If you can't take it, go somewhere else. I suggest you watch the video because the man got angry when his rights were being infringed upon, and he stood up. He stood up. What lesson does that teach our children? When he had the facts, when they tried to shut him down, and he pointed out the facts, the law, he understood his rights. He was prepared to defend and assert them right there, right now, and I love it. That's the gift we need to give to our children. Not fearfulness, not being a government stooge, but to be a free citizen, to know your rights, to be able to defend and assert them, and to be able to do so passionately when necessary. I'm going to put the link into the into the description, because I want everybody to watch this. And I'll tell you what, Simon Campbell is his name, if he wants to come on this program, contact me through the website, constitutionstudy.com, Mr. Campbell. I would be happy to have a discussion with you about what's going on in Pennsbury, Pennsylvania. This is the gift we need to give our children. Not fearfulness, but bravery. Being willing to stand up for what is right and not simply cowering because someone has a title. That is the irreconcilable gift we need to be giving to our children. That is the education that needs to be given to our children. And if those we hire to do that aren't doing it, then it's time we fire them. Either by getting better teachers and administrators, or by taking our children away from the government. What can you do? Well, there's several things you can do. You can join the conversation. Hey, join me for my Q&A this Thursday. Again, 7 p.m. Central Time. You can find me on YouTube or Periscope. Just look for the Constitution Study. You should be able to find me. You can join the Zoom call if you register at theconstitutionstudy.com. Hopefully you find good information here at the radio program. Be sure to make sure America Out Loud your daily stop for the latest news and happenings. Share this program. Share the stories, the articles, the videos, the podcasts. Let's do what we can to make sure that America remains the land of the free and the home of the brave.
They'll stay out of jail. Neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day